Sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses into justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to be here this morning. Lord, open Bibles and comfortable seats. But Lord, I pray that you trouble us in our souls. Lord, give us courage. Lord, give us strength. Give us hope. Give us all the things we need to combat the things that we fight on a daily basis. Lord, we see through this word that as though one brought sin in, one made us righteous. Lord, help us to understand just what one can do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. There are a lot of things that can happen in life that will lead you feeling hopeless. Many of you last Sunday, I was groaning about my car. Oh, trying to change the brakes out on the van. And got a lot of offers to help. And you know me, I considered those offers to help and decided I would try things on my own just one more time. And I went out and I went to go remove the lug nuts off of one side of my van. They were all stripped out. And I went out and I got this tool. And it's supposed to grab a hold of the lug nuts. And it's supposed to grab into it. And as you turn it, it is supposed to remove that lug nut if it's all stripped out. So I went out, I got it, put it onto the lug nut, twisted it around. I got nice and firm. I go, yes, this is going to work. I was very excited. And I you know how you ever get excited? You just plan out the rest of the steps. And this is going to be super easy. All I've got to do is boom, 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 and I'm good. Well, I went to go turn on that thing, and the lug nut snapped in half. I removed the top part of that bad boy. And I was on my way to calling you, brother, when Charlie called me instead. So I'm like, and I tell you what, I appreciate when you get so much help. You don't know, you know who to go to, but you don't know who to go to for you. You got a bunch of people, you know. But anyway, I snapped. My hope went. There's a lot of small things that'll chip at your hope. How am I supposed to get down to this conference? I can't do anything right. What good could it possibly be? Then some of you, you've got some things that are real hope stealers. You got chronic pain. You got family problems. You've got long-term illnesses. You got surgeries that ain't healed yet. There's a lot of things that chip at you and pick at you and beat at you. And I tell you what, you've maintained your faith, and I praise the Lord for it. You know, we don't have a lot of things in life that bring us hope, but this we do have hope in, this we can have hope in, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I put so much hope in that little $10 piece of equipment I bought. Oh, so much hope, so much faith. And what did it do? It made the problem worse. We But you know what I did? Charlie sent me over to this guy. His name is Ken. Really good guy. He comes over and he just looks at it. He goes, I'm sitting there going, I don't know how he's going to do it. This is going to take forever. I'm not going to be able to leave for the conference on time. Problem after problem after problem after problem. He looks at it. He goes, that ain't nothing. Go grabs a hammer and he grabs another tool and he bam, 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 pulls it right off with his bare hands. I go, you take it to the person that knows what to do with it, and the problem's like that, isn't it? Well, according to this passage of Scripture, we had a really big problem. I mean, a nasty problem. And that problem is our sin. We had our Sunday school class this morning. That's what we talked about, isn't it? The relationship between the law, our sin, and grace. And I'd love to say that this is different, but it's hard to stay away from law, sin, and grace when you're on a Sunday morning. So here we are. Forgive me if there's some similarities. But what was the problem? The problem was, we had an ancestor a long time ago who was told, if you did this, if you ate this fruit, you'll die. Don't eat it. And what's more, God did more than that. He said, listen, all of this is yours. All of this is yours. You can have everything else, the apples, the bananas, the oranges, have it all. But don't touch that. Don't eat that. I'll give you dominion over all the land. You are the king of it all. Please feel free to wander about. I'll give you dominion over the animals. They're your friends. Give them names and take care of them and watch them. And I tell you what, it's awfully amusing watching animals. You ever watch animals? Oh, I came home yesterday. My dog just, he put on a show. Just loving on me. He's not allowed to jump on me. So he'll do that thing where he wants to. Just, you know, did his best. Just whimpering and whining and so happy to see. I love animals. I love watching animals in the yard. I love watching birds flying around. That could have been our entire lives, folks. Just watching animals wander about and fellowshipping with each other. But Adam, it wasn't enough for Eve. It wasn't enough for Adam. And though everybody blames Eve, I sure do put a lot of the blame on Adam. I think God blamed Adam. I do. Not that the woman's curse was light or easy by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, my imagination can't reach what they go through. But I'll tell you this, we had a problem. We had a bad problem. Our nature was bad. We died spiritually. We began to die physically. The thing that we were, our ability to live without knowledge of sin was gone. We not only had knowledge of sin now, but we had desire of sin. One of the first sins ever recorded outside of eating the fruit would be Cain killing his brother Abel. All of a sudden, when anger enters in, we see how easy it is for our body, our sin nature, to react. And it really shows us the brokenness in our nature. The brokenness in our nature. You know, you sit there, you look into the animal kingdom, and though I believe the whole world was affected by sin, you know, animals will fight. But typically when animals fight, they'll fight over what? Territory, breeding rights, food, things like that. If they perceive an offense, human beings will fight over the last... thing of Pop-Tarts at a Walmart. We'll fight over a Black Friday sale. We'll fight over the flamingos in your yard. You see people, they shoot each other over the most ridiculous things. There is something bad wrong with us. And it was a problem we can't solve. And what's more, we know there is a God in heaven, and we know that that God has a particular penalty for every sinful thing. I've said so often that God would have been justified just to throw out the entirety of earth, just to toss it into the fire and just throw it out. The moment we sinned, he would have been justified to do that. Would he not have been? Any one of us out there, we've ever built a project, ever worked with our hands, ever did something, we didn't like the look of it, we couldn't redeem it, what do? We threw it away. We've even taken things to a certain point where we say, you know what, at this particular point, it would be too much to fix it. It would cost too much. It would imply too much work and too much time. I'm throwing it away. We've all been there. But God didn't. We know that there is a God who will one day throw all of the sinful things into a lake of fire. And we recognize ourselves as one of those sinful things. And we know we have a problem. And it all started because one man. And of course, I can't blame him. You put any one of us in that situation. You ever been told not to push something? I'll tell you what, right now, when I was a kid, that was a near impossibility. Don't touch this. Oh no. Many of us, we have trouble. Your doctor will sit there and tell you, don't do that. Okay, doc. No, don't you understand how bad it is? You know what, doc? I do understand, but I'm having a hard time not doing it. You put any one of us in that garden, we would have touched that forbidden fruit. Sin nature or no? So we had a problem. Because of one man, we see that sin entered into the world. And that sin causes the earth, as we can see in Scripture, to groan. It causes problems. Why is it that we have massive amounts of trash all over the place? Sin. Why is it that we've got polluted and corrupted oceans and waters? Sin. No, it's not. It's because people are doing this and they're doing what? Why is it that when you look out and you see the large amount of destruction in families, the large amount of destruction in people's individual lives, and we see them throw themselves into the same trouble time and time and time again, why is it that we see that so prevalently? Because sin entered into the world, and we like. That is one of the biggest things I think we miss out on, is that while I'm up here and I grunt and I scream about sin and we amen the preaching against sin, we got to realize what the world is saying, what the devil is saying, that it is fun. But fun don't justify. Fun don't mean it ain't dangerous. Fun don't mean it can't kill you. Oh, but it's accepted. It's acceptable. See, everybody else seems to think that it's okay. That don't change the fact that it's going to hurt you. That don't change the fact that it could kill you. See, I don't know if you've paid close attention, but you ever watch and you see what's healthy for you today is all of a sudden not so good for you tomorrow? They've got brand new things linking marijuana to heart disease and heart problems and things along that nature, when before it was what? The safest thing you could do, right? I was talking to a preacher brother. He was talking about the kids, me putting the kids in the van. And he goes, man, do you remember a time when we didn't need seatbelts? And I said, yeah. Remember, and we would tell stories. And then, of course, you know how stories go between two people when they're challenging each other? Well, I used to wander around the car. I'd stand up. I'd go from the back seat to the front seat while we were on the freeway. I go, well, that's nothing. I used to sleep. Like, we'd put that armrest on. I used to sleep on the armrest of my mamma and papa's truck. Oh, that's nothing. We used to have that one that would face the back. We'd sit in the back of the station wagon. If we ever got rear-ended, we would die. I go, I got one better than that. I used to sleep against that back dash, that back window. I would sleep in the back of there every now and then. And I think I won because we stopped talking about it, or I lost because we kept talking about it. I don't know, because we talked about it for that long. I don't know. Not really the competition you want to win. Sure, we were fine with it. Let me tell you a story about why it's so awful that my mamma and papa would let me do that. My mamma and papa would let me do that, but they lost a child that way. They got into a car wreck. One of my uncles, I never met him. My uncle, as a boy, was thrown through the front window. They lost him. I mentioned in Sunday school class this morning that there was some Southern Baptists in my family. Well, and all of a sudden there was a change. That change took place out of that branch of family. From then on forward, there was trouble. My papa left the ministry. My aunts and my uncles from there, they started doing stuff that people who weren't raised in a good family, a good Christian family would do. Mama and Papa were great people. You'd love them. They'd fit right in here. But there was issues. Why? Why is it that stuff happens? Why is it? Well, it's acceptable, but it ain't right. The danger is always there. We just covered it up with nostalgia and good feelings. And, oh man, remember back when they couldn't tell you this? Somebody sent me a clip of back when they were first making it illegal to travel with an open alcohol container in your car. You could not drink and drive. Remember, because before, if I'm correct, the law was you couldn't be drunk, but you could still have one in the car in some areas. And when they put a kibosh on all of that, well, that just ain't right. I'm like, may have been accepted, but it was still dangerous, wasn't it? Still so very dangerous. And now we've got all kinds of drugs you can't even test for behind the wheel of a car. Why? Because sin, the fun kind of sin, the acceptable kind of sin, but the dangers are still looking us square in the face. So sin entered into the world, and it wasn't just something to do. Sin was doing something to us. It was grabbing a hold of us. It was drawing us along. It made us want more of it. And it condemned us in the eyes of God. It put space between us and Him. Because of one man, the biggest problem mankind has ever had entered into the world and began doing its work. Because once sin entered, all of mankind became sinners. I want you to think of the best person you know. I want you to think of their attitude, their heart, their sinless nature, just the way they don't do no wrong. Even they're sinners. That's rough. I hate thinking about that because there's a lot of people I love. I don't like thinking about people as sinners, but that's what we are. It's what we are. Even the best of us. And then we try to compare the best of us with the worst of us. And you quickly realize that in the eyes of God, there is no best or the worst. You just can't. And of course, in the end of all that, judgment. Judgment was now expected for all of us. A judgment that was horrible, a judgment that was awful. A judgment that we would not have been able to cope with. But God in His mercy did what? As we see through the scripture, one man brought it in, but what do we see? For if verse 17 of our text, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. What then becomes of us? Righteousness. Now wait a minute. Wait. If I've done wrong, how could I possibly be right? I know a lot of people that throw wrong on top of wrong to try to make things right. Well, if you say something mean to me, I'll push you. If you push me back, I'll hit you with my fist, and so on and so forth. You can't fix wrong. You can say you're sorry. You can make amends. You can make reparations and fix things that are broke, and you can do all that. But how do you turn something that is wrong? My nature. And make it righteous. His righteousness was imputed unto us. He lived a perfect life. Took my sin upon Him. Died on that cross. And a free gift was given. Now I want you to think about it. It's not fair that you would be saved. You didn't do anything to deserve it. We don't give God anything back for it. And I tell you what, the trip and the whole work and everything He had to do was a whole lot more than just a little inconvenience. Can we all agree? You're going to give up the splendors of heaven. You're going to walk away from all of that to come down and live 33 plus years or so down here on earth in the cold, in the heat, in the hunger. You're going to bang up your fingers working as an apprentice carpenter under your dad. You're going to walk around getting yelled at and cussed at and being questioned and argued with over everybody that you came to save. You're going to sit there and you're going to be put up on that cross. We're going to play these awful games with you. We're going to run you through a court that violates the laws that we've got. We're going to nail you to this cross. And everyone who sat there and watched you feed people with food that shouldn't be enough. The people that watched you raise people from the dead. The people that watched you heal the lame and cause the blind to see and give the deaf back their ears. They're going to watch you die. They're going to yell crucify. They're going to demand a thief be let go so that they can kill you. I would say that's more than an inconvenience. He did that all for you. Oh, what great grace we have. We would say that it's not fair that he should do all that for us, but it is a gift. A gift. I used to have a coworker. He'd buy me lunch, I'd buy him lunch. Right? It's a fair trade deal, isn't it? Right? He'd go get a pop, he'd go grab me one, I'd go get a pop, I'd grab him one. Somebody was making a run up to the thing, we'd grab each other water bottles, we'd just, right? That's the deal, that's friendship. I can't grab for the Lord what he grabbed for me that day on the cross. I can't do it. A whole life of a living sacrifice, doing good deeds, preaching the gospel, being everything that he asked me to be, will not thank him adequately, will not settle the debt. And that's why I'm glad that he doesn't see it as a debt. That scripture says that it is a gift. A gift. And what a gift it is. I can't even wrap my head around it. That somebody long before I'd even make my first mistake would give their life's blood, give their dignity, give up everything in heaven for the while that they were down here. For me. A free gift was given. And as a part of that response, sinners were made righteous. Were made righteous. Now, I'm not sitting here up there. You can't sit there and say, well, the Lord made me righteous and think that that says anything about you. It don't. It don't. When I was working, you'd get free perks every now and then, and if the boss didn't want them, he would give them down to as a prize. Hey, the first one that can do this, the first one that can raise this to that, I'll get you tickets to the Pistons game. I'll get you tickets to this or that. So one time, that was it. You could get to go to a basketball game. But he gave us tickets that somebody gave him that was trying to network with him to grow their business and help our business. So I'm in like this big suite at a Pistons game. You know, you ever see the really nice ones where all those people are up in there and you can't figure out? I'd always watch from the cheap seats whenever I'd go to that sort of stuff. Look up there, go, wow, that must be nice. Well, I got to sit up there and I'll tell you this. The guy who saw me was awfully disappointed to see me. He goes, all right, well, you work for him, right? I go, yeah, I work for him. What do you do? Well, I'm a leasing manager in one of his sites. Oh. Because what I had efficiently told him was, I was not a decision maker to help with his business. He was very disappointed. But here's the thing with me. I was having a good old time. All free food, great seats. I got to bring a friend along with me. We had a good time. You see, you look at me from the outside. I don't look righteous. I don't. I could never afford to sit in those chairs. I could never afford the kind of treatment we were getting. I could never afford that kind of night that we had. Never on earth. But I had that ticket in my hand. The men that I was there under their invitation, or at least my boss's, the invitation he gave to my boss, he was looking for somebody that could do some real business with. looking for somebody he could sign a bottom line with. He didn't get that. He just got me. I wasn't enough for him. I wasn't enough for his need. I couldn't provide anything for him. There was no amount of money I could bring to his company. And there was no real conversation I could take part in because I had no idea what he did. And no idea how that would fold into our business. But that ticket was in my hand. And that's what I feel like when it comes down to my righteousness. It's not my righteousness. I'm not what you would expect to find when you look for righteousness. I'm holding somebody else's ticket. I'm holding the Lord Jesus Christ's ticket. He died for my righteousness. He took the penalty for my sin so that even though I am still a sinner, I could be called righteous. We have a hard time forgiving people. We do. We hold on to it. Well, I ain't going to talk to you. You ain't going to talk to me. And I'll tell you what, this is what they did to me. And I'll never forget it. And I tell my kids about it. Oh, we're never going to forget it. I want you to consider the sheer magnitude of forgiveness that Christ delivered on that cross. He delivered a ton of stuff we don't deserve forgiveness from. Where he specifically told us not to and we did it anyway, and the sheer number of times we did it, anybody in your personal relationship would have written you off and probably might have, but not God. Not God. And he didn't just do it for me, he didn't just do it for you, but he did it for all that would be saved. He did it for all the righteous. He did it for all the elect. Took care of them all! Showing that love! Showing that forgiveness, fixing what was broken. And I'll tell you what, though we are not sinless, though this is no way heaven, the relationship between us and God was bridged and taken care of by the cross. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We see that we are given an abundance of grace. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Abundance. Don't you like having an abundance of something? Unless it's useless. When people would move out of the apartments, I'd always be able to tell you what they had too much of. Because so very often they left it behind. You'd walk in and be like, "Woo! This person had an abundance of shoes." Or the other one, "This person had an abundance of canned goods." Or one that still gives me nightmares, "This person had an abundance of cats." That's a different kind of abundance. That's a nightmare abundance. But we're given an abundance of grace. We're given more than what we need. So much more. See, when he died on that cross, he settled all the debt. Not just a little. Not just what was fair. Not just some. But an abundance. Not to get you, "Oh, all right, listen, maybe what we'll do is we'll give you enough grace to cover to that point. But if you sin beyond that, you're in trouble." No, an abundance. I tell you what. I'll give you grace to cover the sins that perhaps you could justify. If you can argue that you had a good reason for it, I'll give you grace for it. Nope. Just an abundance to clear it out. Because that's who God is and that's how he loves. Here's more. I'll never understand a world that wants to pretend that there ain't consequences for their actions. But the one thing that I struggle probably harder to believe is, why would God forgive me of all those things? But He does. He does. And what we need to do is go to God and thank Him for that grace. We need to live our lives in light of that grace, saying thank you for it, acting as though we know what it costs so that we're not asking for it all the time, being able to sit there and show that grace to others, show that love to others. Change your life. So I come to this conclusion as we're looking at all things put together. By one man's disobedience, death and sin and all those horrible things entered into the world. And since then we've been propagating it and keeping it in perpetuity, keeping it going. By one man's disobedience, sin entered in. By one man's obedience, we are forgiven of that sin. That leads us down to one, and that's you. What about you? If one person can turn the world for the bad, and one person can bring hope and grace and forgiveness to the world, what can you as a person do? Well, very firstly, because of that grace, you can take care of things in your personal life. You can. We're all responsible for things, aren't we? Like, if I do something wrong, am I not responsible for it? If I'm taking care of things, you know, you look at those kids. You know, I fed them at almost every meal. I do. I feed them every time they're hungry. Isn't that ridiculous? Wonder why I do that? Because they're my kids. Mother, my responsibility. That dog, I feed that dog unless Dennis is there, and Dennis feeds the dog. Thank you for that again, brother. Notice how I'm not thanking him for the cats or the steak, man. I don't care about those, but took care of my dog. It's my responsibility. Mowing the lawn, keeping the oil changed in the car, getting some exercise, eating good food, my language, my behavior, my responsibility. And if that's all there was, well, then maybe some of us would be good. Maybe some of us would be in trouble. But on top of that, there is grace. Which means not only can I obey, but I've got access to every tool I need to obey and to change. To change bad habits, to pick up new ones. I've got the ability, I've got the command. And I'll tell you what, God's given me all the tools. When was the last time you asked God to give you strength to combat temptation? In the moment. Not just a passing prayer in the morning or at night, and Lord, help keep me from sin, in Jesus' name I pray. No, when was the last time temptation was tickling at your nose and you stopped and you said, Lord, I am tempted, deliver me. When was the last time? When was the last time you didn't feel like praying and you took that as a sign as you definitely need to pray? When was the last time you were too busy or didn't feel like reading the Word of God and you reached out to Him and you said, Lord, help me, and you did it anyway? We need to go to Him for that strength. How about this? Lord, I got a problem right now I can't solve. Give me wisdom or put someone in my path who's got it and can help me. And I'll tell you what, that's happened more often than once in my life, where God has put people into my life that had the solution. We need to go to Him. Lord, help me. Oh, and what about our sin? You don't understand. It works too hard on me. It's too difficult for me to give up. It's too hard for me to surrender to. Well, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. We talked about that this morning. The law was there to show us just how much sin there was. Just how off we were. And we see the law entered in showing, look how much sin there is. What happens when I'm sitting there and someone is preaching and my sin is being talked about? It hurts me. It bothers me. It steals the hope out of me when I realize just how off I am. There they are preaching that law. There they are preaching God's expectations. There they are preaching God's demands upon my life. And all it reveals is how awkward I am and how terrible I am at keeping these things. Well, I'll tell you what, let's continue reading. Because where the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It turns I ain't right into I ain't got it right yet. But I will. Never forget that, but I will. By God's grace, I will. I'm struggling with this right now. I'm fighting with it hard. It's getting me right now. But as I submit to the Lord, and I ask Him for His help, and I ask Him for His grace, there'll be more grace for me. I like that old acrostic, G-R-A-C-E, grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. Well, I don't feel like I'm very rich. That ain't the kind of riches we're talking about with grace. Forgiveness is a luxury. Strength is a luxury. Wisdom is a luxury. And God gives it in spades. So in my personal life, grace can make me better. Grace can push me on. Grace can help me have an effect on me. It's like that old phrase, practice what you preach. Well, you wrote this. I mean, you know, you got the source materials, the Bible. You know where you're wrong. You know exactly what you got to do. Time for you to have an effect on you. You know, that was part of the sermon that I preached down there at the conference. There comes a point where you got to take care of your mess. There comes a point where you're not only responsible for it, but you got to get to work on it. And I say that knowing each and every last one of us are probably thinking about a mess right now we got to fix. Right? It ain't God that's broke. The reason why you're not obeying Him, the reason why you ain't getting it right, ain't God's fault. You cannot say He's not doing enough for you. Do you not have His word? And somebody asked, didn't you preach on sin last year? Yeah, I do that a lot. I don't know if that's good or bad. I just kind of do that a lot. Mostly because I think that's a big problem I have, right? Anybody else here, you struggle with sin? Probably not just me. This word works. There ain't nothing wrong in the understanding. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. I mean, we got it, right? Many, many more. It's more than just the Ten Commandments. We got many, many more in here, ways that we ought to behave. We've seen the damage that misbehavior has done to our lives, both in our relationship to God, His chastisement on us, and then just what it's done to our lives as it is, right? We've all seen it. God's strength can still be given. I think we're still sitting around waiting for God to turn off our sin nature so that we're no longer tempted. And as long as there's not an ounce of temptation, we're perfectly happy to not sin. That ain't going to happen. The ball's in your court. You've got access to everything you need. You got to get it done. It's like a guy with a Ferrari who's always late to work. What's wrong with you, man? You drive a race car, but you're always late. You've got all the ability, all the power to do it. Ultimately, it's our fault when we don't. You can have an effect on you because of God's grace. How about in the world around me? What effect can I have on the world around me? Did you know you're already affecting the world around you? We make a big deal. Well, there are introverts who like to keep to themselves. There are extroverts who are out there and they're just doing things and they're talking to people and they're in their faces. Doesn't matter if you're inside or outside kind of a person. You're affecting people. It's not a choice over whether or not you get to be an effect on a person. Because that's going to happen. You may be able to decide who you're an effect on. You may be able to cloister it off a little bit. But I tell you what, you are affecting somebody somewhere. Wouldn't you just want to go ahead and be a godly influence? If I'm going to affect anything, I would much rather affect something for good. You get into conversations with people, and sometimes people ain't going to like you. That's just the way it is. Sorry, there ain't no universal acceptance of anybody on this earth. Someone out there is going to have it for you. And you got a choice. Am I going to sit here and walk away, try to win this argument, make them feel more bad than they're going to make me feel bad? But that doesn't even sound like a win, does it? But that's what an argument is. I scream at you, you scream at me. I call you names, you call me names. And that's what our politicians are. That's what our politics is breaking down to. I'll tell you what, I was greatly affected. My confidence in our country was greatly affected in those last two presidential debates. I literally feel as though we've entered into some kind of kids' playground, watching them go at each other the way that they did. And some people will say, well, did you see what so-and-so did? Did you see what so-and-so did? Folks, they were both doing it. And they weren't even doing it because that's probably the way they normally act. They were doing that because they were pandering to audiences. It was no longer a political debate. It was reality television. And you know what they say about reality television? It ain't real. It's what it is. All right, how are we gonna get together and make this real good? How are we going to get people to watch this? How do I get my name out there? Well, the statistics show that if you say something off the charts ridiculous, people will quote that the next morning, and everybody will be talking about your name, and the people that like you will go, yay, and the people that don't like you will think you're nuts. And don't you kind of see that now? You watch a political debate, you don't know where they stand on things. You just know that he's wearing my flag and they're wearing theirs. That's it. Are they right on some things? Are they wrong on some things? I don't know. All we're doing is what? I hurt you more than you hurt me, and I win. If I get a choice on the effect that I'm going to have on people, you go ahead and make me feel as awful as you want. I need to know that you've heard the gospel. That's not always an easy choice to make, and I'll tell you this, that's not always the choice I make. I wish it was. As we've just read, by God's grace, it's what I can do and what I should do. We can have an effect on this world by changing the way we talk, bringing it back to Christ. I was talking to folks. You know, it's easy when you're going to a conference or you're headed to church or you're wearing, you know, I've got the stuff from our church on my coat. You know, I just walk around. It's easy. What church you go to? You seem to talk to people about that, but what about when you're not doing that? And when you're in the car and you're stopping off at the gas station and you run in real quick to use the bathroom and you're talking to the lady behind the counter for a little bit, and do you stop and invite her to church? Give them the gospel? Have that conversation? That's very intrusive and very uncomfortable. You know what's really, really uncomfortable? Hell. And if I like people the way I claim to like people, I ought to care about that. I ought to care about that. Well, now, wait a minute, brother. What about the doctrines of grace? My job is to give the gospel. I don't have to worry about who is and who's not getting in. I give the gospel. I throw the seed. I don't worry about where it's growing. I throw the seed out. It's my job. So it doesn't matter if I think you may or may not be elect. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the gospel, because that is what I've been put on the earth to do. I'm going to change the way I talk. I'm going to bring things back to God. She told me something ridiculous. She said, yeah, in our county, they just had this issue up at the school board, something to do with them wanting litter boxes and the kids thing. And I go, no, I heard. I told her, I go, no, I heard that a long time ago. That's a hoax. They're not putting litter boxes in the public schools for the kids that think they're animals. They're not doing that. She goes, no. At the school board, somebody brought it up. That they were doing it? No, that they should do it. I go, oh. Because I looked this thing up like a year ago, and I'm like, no, it's not happening. But somebody asked. Well, that's why I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ. She just kind of looked at me. Take those opportunities. Man, I will chase. I will chase a political rabbit. I will chase a social rabbit. Right? You see this thing happening in society? Oh, let's talk about that. I love that. But I ain't gonna give anybody the gospel by me telling you what I think about what school systems should or should not be doing. Me even less so because I don't participate in it. I'm not gonna be able to. I can't be so Republican that it touches people for Jesus Christ. Those things are important. I'm telling you, I'll chase a rabbit. But what people need to get out of you in your language is Jesus Christ. What people need to get out of you in the way that you talk is they need to be reminded when you are dealing with somebody and you show them grace that they should not be getting, you bring that back to Christ. You show them love. You show them mercy. You show them kindness. We don't need to sit there and be the rabble-rousers and the fighters and the people who are all into the battles. Our only battle is for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Great Commission. And I'll fight on some things that I think are right, that I think are godly. I'll fight all day on those things. But ultimately, what I need to make sure I'm doing is my responsibility to the Great Commission. There's ways that we can be an effect on the world by the way that we act. I just mentioned by showing forgiveness. You cannot be a cold-hearted, unforgiving person. You cannot lack empathy or sympathy or any kind of love for your fellow man and have the proper kind of witness. Again, I'm not talking about tolerating sin. I'm not talking about giving space for sin. I'm not talking about agreeing or disagreeing on doctrine. The Bible's already agreed on doctrine if we can't get on that. What I am talking about is this, is I ain't got to be ugly. Well, I got to be this kind of ugly, but I ain't got to be ugly inside. Right? I'm stuck like this. I ain't fixing this. But I can fix what's inside coming out. I do not have to be ugly. Well, they're calling us bigoted and this and that. Doesn't that bother you? To no end. But they bothered Christ, and he fed them. They bothered Christ. I want you to take it back. That kangaroo court system they threw him through, breaking all the laws that they had at the time to do it, just to whip him through the court system. Taking his clothes from him just to embarrass him. Putting something over his head, smacking him around, taunting him. Hey, prophesy who did it. Whipping his back the way they did. Nailing him on the cross. Knowing that with just a thought, he could have brought down 10,000 angels and wiped everybody out. We've seen what one angel can do in the Old Testament. Not the kind of creatures you see hanging up on a Christmas tree for sure. We've seen what one can do. He could have brought down 10,000. With just a word, he could have undone all of creation. But he sat there and did nothing for the cause of our salvation. What was one of the things he said? Again, the whipping. They're trolling him around naked. The whipping, the slapping, the name calling, the jeering. Father, forgive them. Nails in the hands and feet. Father, forgive them. Giant thorns wedged into his head. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think we need to forgive the people tweeting at us. I think we need to forgive the people that said that mean thing to us all those years ago. I think we need to offer that forgiveness whether we think they deserve it. I think we need to offer that forgiveness before they even ask for it. I think we ought to be able to give that forgiveness the moment something happens. I think we ought to. There's no good in being ugly. Oh, but don't you understand how bad the world is getting? How can me fixing my sin, how can me giving the gospel, how can me living my testimony out, how can I really be any kind of an effect? Then what's going on in this world? When I was a kid, I had to memorize this verse. Greater is he that is in you than he that is where? That's right, in the world. He is greater. See, it's not by you. I mean, I tell you what, there's some people out there, they've invented wonderful things, they've changed the world. And good on them, I'm thankful. Right? You invent a car, you invent a medicine, you invent a new fuel system, you do something that's going to help everybody. Hey, that is awesome. Thank you. But you don't have to do that to change the world. Some of us, I probably won't ever invent a medicine. I probably won't invent anything mechanical. The only way that I could ever change the world is not by me, but by Jesus Christ. Oh, but there's a lot of sin out there, isn't there? I mean, brother, look at these people and what they're doing to each other. These men who are going out there and they've got all these kids from all these different moms. You've got all this alcoholism, you've got all this smacking people around, you've got all this violence in the homes, in the schools, you've got gangs, you've got politicians doing awful stuff, you've got banks ripping people off, you've got white-collar crime, blue-collar crime, street crime, you've got all kinds of stuff going on out there, brother. What could we possibly do? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Which means the most vilest, most awful of sinners can still find grace. They just need a light to shine them towards it. So that they too can receive mercy. Ain't none of us deserved it. Ain't none of us could have found it without somebody showing it to us and the Holy Spirit working within us. If one person, sin, could doom an entire race of people, and if one's obedience could save those people, redeem those people, if God could save me, he could still save today. I was sitting there, I was talking to Brother Glish. He's coming up to preach for us for our conference. And one of the things that strikes me about him is he's a very intelligent person. People like me notice really intelligent people. We get intimidated. But yeah, very intelligent person. He's a very good preacher, very sound preacher. And I asked him, I go, hey man, listen. That's just between us. How old are you? 23. Full-time ministry right now. Just had his first baby. Just got married a couple years ago. He's out there fighting. And I go, I sat there and we talked about it. I'm like, man, I think you might be the youngest person I know called to ministry right now. I go, I wish we had more. I wish there was more. He says, yeah. Because you know what? Some of the older preachers, they wax on like that, don't they? Oh, we wish there was more younger preachers. But when you've got, I still think I'm kind of a younger preacher, I don't know, compared to some of you definitely. But I want you to look at it from the perspective of people like me, who if the Lord don't come back, will still be here in 30 years. And I want you to imagine how people like me and Brother Glish pray for more preachers. This is going to be a bad fight. Bad fight. Conference ended. Wesley, right? Wesley Titus comes up, surrenders to ministry. I'm just sitting there. I'm trying to make eye contact with Ken. Because while many sit there and they can say, oh, the generation, there'll be more for the next generation. Oh, there'll be more. The people in that generation. I went up to him. I go, if you don't mind me asking, give me your phone number. I want to get to know you. I want to cheer you on. I want to be, you're going to have a bunch of people better than me. You know, listen to them. Let me throw you a text every now and then, let you know I'm praying for you. Because we got some preachers coming to this conference, folks, and I know we're running over, but we got some preachers coming to this conference ain't going to be here in 20 years. That's a sad fact. It's a heartbreaking fact. There's a lot that young man's going to be able to do. Wow. There's a lot that any one of us can do. But it falls into these hands. God's given you the grace. He's given you abundant grace on top of the grace you needed. Not just your salvation, but He gives you more. More forgiveness, more things you can do, more strength and wisdom. He gives you all these things. Just dumps them on you. Which means the only breakdown in that whole machine. And so often right here. If one could cause so much trouble and one could bring so much good, which one will we decide to be today? Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you in all things. Lord, we need your grace. We need your mercy. Lord, we need your strength, your wisdom, your knowledge. Lord, we need everything you can give us because, Father, we just keep getting into trouble. Lord, we need to grow right. We need to make the right decisions. We need to be a positive effect on the world around us. Not one that is awful and mean and arrogant, but one that is loving and filled with knowledge. One that is a light to you. One that shows the path. Lord, that gets them to your throne. Lord, help us to be everything that you need us to be. But Lord, help us to be bold enough to take what you've given us to do so. And Lord, do something with it. Lord, if we love you, our actions will show it. And Lord, I pray that you give us all discipline in that regard. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.